With a big hello to everybody listening across America. Believe it or not, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. I promise you. I got to keep telling myself that. Do you keep telling yourself that? You know, I was looking at some statistics, and this is where we jump in about this Congress. Now that they're on a five-week break, would you believe they passed just 54 bills? This is really a do-nothing Congress, a do-nothing Congress. Well, I shouldn't say that this is our previous Congress, because if we look at 2012 and then we look at 2013, when we talked about 54 bills overall, they were on track to do the same thing. But when I get out my calculator and I look at the specific bills, since some of them have fallen on their face, just 18 bills in 7 months. 18 bills. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you what some of the bills are. How about this one? Some of the bills include laws renewing existing laws, like violence against women, the reauthorization of that. Well, who's voting against that? Then animal generic drug user free reauthorization. So there's four of those. Pandemic and all hazardous preparedness reauthorization and consolidated and further continuing appropriations act. That's your four existing laws just saying, okay, we reauthorize it. There were two laws that actually kind of tweaked laws on the books, like H.R. 475. You know what that is? Amending the IRS code, slapping a 75-cent excise tax on some flu vaccines. Woohoo! Then there was S-716. It modified the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012. Then there was a law. I know I'm going to dazzle you with the boring 18 bills. Then there was a law that undid an existing law, the Reducing Flight Delays Act of 2013. It stopped the sequester-imposed furloughs of thousands of air traffic controllers, because that would have been disastrous, but what a layup that was. Then we had 11 miscellaneous laws, like No Budget, No Pay Act of 2013, which would dock members' pay if either the House or the Senate failed to pass a federal budget by April. Both did, but the law didn't require an agreement between the two chambers. That was a get out. The District of Columbia Chief Financial Officer Vacancy Act. D.C.'s deputy CFO could act as a CFO when the job is open. That's a rough one. The Stolen Valor Act. Lying about military service. I think this is important. To make money is now a crime, thank goodness, because a couple of people did that in a very big way. So that's a good one. The Freedom to Fish Act. Tennessee and Kentucky fishermen can still trawl for bass, catfish, and trout in 10 areas the Army Corps of Engineers had wanted to close off. Good for them. H.R. 360 awarded a congressional gold medal to the 1963 16th Street Baptist Church bombing victims. H.R. 324 awarded one to the Devil's Brigade, a World War II U.S.-Canadian commando unit. There was the Disaster Relief Appropriations Act in H.R. 41, which sent $60.4 billion to the areas hit by Hurricane Sandy. And you remember what they went through to get that money. H.R. 1151 ordered the Secretary of State to endorse Taiwan's attendance at an international aviation regulation meeting. Okay. H.R. 1071 lets the U.S. Mint print coins for the National Baseball Hall of Fame 75th anniversary. H.R. 2383 named a St. Louis bridge the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge. How ridiculous is that? A sign of the times. Jeez. 18 bills in 7 months. That is your government hard at work. oh, how does that happen? And there's so many other wasteful minutes that we could go through, but I won't bore you with all that. I thought the fact that now this is probably going to go on record as the lamest Congress, not on pace to eclipse that 54 or hit that 54 like I thought, because we don't have that much time left. 7 months into it, this is what you get. Now, we do a segment here called We Can Count. You may have heard it in a previous hour about the numbers. And it's fascinating because if you really look around, so much of it's always about follow the money or look at the numbers or any of that kind of stuff. And I was looking at numbers when it comes to there's a Canadian supermarket chain that now has over 1,200 drugstores, and the purchase of these small inner-city stores helps them avoid direct competition with Target and Walmart, which are very, very big, and they're aggressive in Canada. They're expanding all over the place. So the Shoppers Drug Mart, they figured we had a monopoly, so they pump in $11.9 billion to do that. And this is a common thing. How do you level the competition? Well, you think ahead of time and you jump in front of the guy who knows that he's got more money than you do, and he'll start to build it up, even if it's competition across the border. So it's like I was looking at AT&T. They got the Leap Wireless International. So that deal is consolidation, and it expands the pay-as-you-go stuff. And they pumped in $1.2 billion into that, right? Then you had Abbott Laboratories acquiring Idiv Technologies and OptiMedica. And why do they do that? Because that's the medical device gets an arterial stent and a laser system for cataract surgery, which they anticipate, and there's other companies jumping into this, will be big because of the baby boomers. So how do they do that? They pump in $560 million. And then I'll give you one more example because I like this number stuff. You have Baidu, which acquired App Store's 91 Wireless, right? So that is the owner of China's largest search engine. And they think they'll get more cell phone users to download their mobile apps. And it's Baidu, $1.9 billion. Search engines couldn't be bigger. Trying to get somebody to jump from one search engine to another. And it's a pretty well-known brand, actually. They may have some success in that, in pushing their particular app. If they get enough people to download it, and it creates enough buzz, which it looks like it's doing in China, then they'll more than triple that investment of the 1.9. It's good to be rich when you're a company and you have that extra money to spend to fend off the competition, isn't it? All right, stay here as we kick it to the next side on America Tonight. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
In the virtual green room right now. She's a Project 21 member. Project 21, we've talked to so many of the gang from Project 21, and what we're going to talk about today is really interesting. Now, here's someone who's been around for a long, long time, and I'm talking about Charlie Rangel, and I'm talking about some of what he had to say in an interview with the Daily Beast. Charlie Rangel, a longtime congressman from New York, tried to equate Tea Party activists who oppose government policies like the takeover of private health care in America and what's happening with spending programs to civil rights era segregationists. Wow. He said, I'm going to give you a quote here before we go to Lisa. He said about the Tea Party, it is the same group we faced in the South with those white crackers and the dogs and the police. What? I'll tell you what, it's going to be pretty hard for him to, I think, roll this one back, but he's not looking to roll it back. What is he talking about? Lisa, you had to be pretty surprised by the comments by the congressman.
You know, my first reaction is, with him using that same word, is that a lot of these politicians on the left, they are just Rachel Gentile in a suit. And they've been elected by the people to be a public servant. In his constituency, aren't there white people? Aren't there people who probably didn't march with the Tea Party that have nothing against the Tea Party? And I'd just like to note, you've never heard any Tea Party activist that I've known or I've seen come out and racially use derogatory terms to describe other Americans, other human beings. They don't disparage anyone else in this country. The Tea Party is not about anything that has to do with race. It's simply about getting this country back on track with the values and founding principles of this country. And might I say, a lot of what the Tea Party stands for has to do with being a Christian. I know at least that's my background in education. And it's just too bad that people in New York have to depend on the likes of Charles Rangel to represent them. If I'm a white person in New York and I hear him using that kind of term, I'm thinking, why would you talk about someone who's voted for you and who you're supposed to be serving. That's what you think of me. That's what you think of other white people. It's just really, I don't get it. I don't know how he's able to use a term like that and people stand for that and haven't called for his resignation.
Yeah, at least, you know, what's crazy about that, too, is New Yorkers are very sensitive to things that are, you wouldn't even put on the pendulum of swinging in any direction of race. So I'm surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, because this shows you about the whole Tea Party and the South versus the North, which is craziness to me. But it shows you, I think, the ignorance to, as you said, to what the Tea Party is about. I think there is massive confusion.
It's ignorance, not just to the Tea Party, but it's also, in my opinion, it's a put down of the true trials and the civil rights movement. What Martin Luther King and others really went through when he spent time in Birmingham jail. You know, I love, there was an article by Shelby Still in the Wall Street Journal. Charles Rangel, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, they will never have an opportunity to write a letter to their people from jail. Why? Because they're not fighting true racism. They're not fighting true victimization. They are making up ghosts so that they can have some semblance of relevancy. They will never rise to the level of excellence and self-sacrifice and dignity that those civil rights men and women rose to. Never, ever.
Yeah, and to make it clear, there's no question, cracker is a racially charged word, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally racially charged. It's ugly, it's despicable, and it's just as disgusting to call, I think, a white person that as it is to use the N-word against a black person. Anytime you call someone out of their name, it's wrong and it's despicable. And him, as he is a public servant, should know that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Lisa, digging into this a little bit further, what is, you know, we saw what happened with the George Zimmerman acquittal and then how that exploded and this whole tug of war. Why are we in this situation where we are, do you think, where we're reverting back to, I call it the race baiting or the race cards?
Right.
Why are we constantly doing this? Haven't we moved beyond this?
Here's the thing that really just, you know, cracks my noodle is here. I thought Obama, you know, electing the first black president was supposed to largely fix and heal all of this. And it seems like we've taken a huge step backward in terms of race relations and healing a lot of those wounds in this country. And I personally think it's because we never could have depended on Barack Obama to heal the wounds of this country in the first place. I say digging deeper, that's the responsibility of the black community. And in my book, I talk about this largely, and I really have thought about just writing a book on this, the subject of black people forgiving and blessing this country of slavery and realizing that, you know, and triumph and prevailing over that tragedy, we owe a huge sense of gratitude to this country for the opportunities we have today. And not just the civil rights heroes, but white people who broke out against, you know, common, what was thought of as okay, who marched with Martin Luther King and marched with the civil rights movement and fought for black freedom. We forget that it wasn't just a one-sided climb towards this progress that we've made. We've all been in this together, and we couldn't have gotten this far without decent, fear, you know, God-fearing white people as well as black people.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest, because your book, by the way, Obama, Tea Parties, and God, what is the biggest misconception about the Tea Party?
I think the biggest misconception about the Tea Party is that it started because of Barack Obama. Being invited to speak at Tea Party rallies and being invited to a lot of these home meetings, it really started because of Congress. People like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, and people were largely dismayed about their elected officials. It had very little to do with Barack Obama at the time. When he became president and he made it worse, people started to march because I think then people just kind of felt a sense of betrayal, you know, from the ground up. But I think the biggest misconception is that the Tea Party started because of him. The second misconception is that they're all white, or the reason that they're all white. You know, it's not being just because you're being in a group of mostly white people doesn't make that group racist. Okay, that's just like, you know, a bunch of white people can't get together and just be have fellowship. If they have to be, if you're in a group, you're racist. I mean, I think that's a huge misconception that there's a racial element to the Tea Party. There are Hispanic members of the Tea Party. There's lots of black members of the Tea Party. Now, I spoke at a Tea Party rally, and I was a speaker, saw the clip on the news. You know, you think they would have had me on there, but they didn't. And I think the second misconception of the Tea Party is that it's anti-government. We realize there's a place for government, but it is anti-overreaching big government.
Yeah, well said, because I think that's the thing. We see what's happening when the government gets too big, and we see what happens when there's misconceptions. Besides talking about the Tea Party in your book, what do you talk about as far as the president is concerned, Obama, because that's part of the title?
Well, I talk about how so many of us fell for him so big in 2004, and I was included in that group. And the turning point for me was when the Jeremiah Wright story came out, and I realized that none of that could have been true for him to have sat there and listened to that. But the main thing about Obama is, you know, it shows us at the time who we are. We were looking for this savior, for this larger-than-life person who could just take all of our cares away, and then we wouldn't have to do any work. We just elect him, and bing, there's no more racism. Bing. You know, we've made a mark in history. Bing, we're going to get all of our prayers answered. And I said, no, you know, that's not what anybody's job as a politician is. That's not who we should look to politicians to be for. That's God's role. But I just think, you know, it was so refreshing for people to hear a black man who said, there's no white America, there's no black America, there's United States of America. All of us want to believe that, and we do know deep down that that's true. We see it every day next door to us in our grocery store. And to hear someone say that, it was so refreshing. But then to find out he didn't believe it, it was like a slap in the face.
Yeah. Lisa Fritsch, don't be a stranger. We enjoyed speaking with you. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
You too.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
There is a false sense of security that the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression is over. But unemployment is still at a 20-year high, and until Americans are working again, the economy has not recovered. What is the smartest investment you can make? It's food. Having a supply of eFoods Direct 25-year shelf life food is your best investment for the troubled times today and the future. For 32 years, the folks at eFoods Direct have helped thousands take the trouble out of troubled times. So to celebrate our 32-year anniversary, get the best insurance possible with a special special one-time offer. A two-month food supply for only $320 and free shipping. That's 352 servings of our newest and most popular award-winning recipes at less than a dollar per serving. The 25-year shelf life allows you to lock your food cost against inflation. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. The two-month supply is only available for a limited time. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
People are taking charge of their lives with healthier lifestyles. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event. One day only, Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Durham, North Carolina. Explore the Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, where learning is fun and delicious. Discover the world of gluten-free with free samples, cooking demonstrations, and lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free community. Enter the raffle, and you could win the grand prize of a catered barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udy's Gluten Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Youngevity.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Here on America Tonight, so many of you emailing about the money dump in the Middle East and whether or not you think we should withdraw as much money as possible, and also taking back the NSA and a couple of other things too as well. So let's skedaddle and hit the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
So this one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas. Jake says, hey, Ms. Delaney, really enjoying the offerings, especially when you talk about the NSA. It used to be the three dreaded letters, the IRS. Now it's the NSA. What did you think of what the president had to say on Friday about overhauling the spy agency? Yeah, great question, Jake. Actually, that was one of the main themes of what he talked about. He said that the plans are that key parts of what the surveillance program is would go in a different direction. And what a crazy, in a way, what a crazy revelation that is, because, you know, it was all about Ed Snowden's a traitor. Ed Snowden is, you know, somebody who shouldn't have leaked classified information or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, there's like a white flag, a retreat from the White House. So their tone has changed. It's about reform. Geez, we got to reform what happened in 2008 with the surveillance laws. So instead, we're going to restructure some of what our Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court is, which is what the people have been quoting that the NSA has been able to stand behind. It's the secret court that oversees, supposedly. I say supposedly because what is the court, really? But it's the secret court that oversees the surveillance programs in the U.S., which is definitely a big concern for anyone who cares about privacy, because you have the Patriot Act. So, you know, is that one of the things that's going to be overhauled, the Patriot Act, looking at the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court supposedly is another one. And isn't it crazy, after all of these revelations from Snowden, suddenly, now all of a sudden, the NSA is overhauling its program. Yes, there's going to be a surveillance program, but we're overhauling it. And the president acknowledged that Snowden's actions sparked a much more rapid policy debate, which is shocking. So, okay, he's a traitor, we have to go after him, but hey, thanks to Ed Snowden, we now are having this serious policy debate, and we're going to have a little bit of an overhaul here. That's stunning. To me, that's the biggest news heading into the weekend. Obama said that on Friday, so that they were going to have some technology tweaks to the program. That was a huge priority, that they can embed technologies and prevent snooping regardless of what the government wants to do. Well, that wasn't going to be part of the plan until Ed Snowden comes along. And so now you want to prosecute him? It doesn't make sense after saying that, that's why we're having this debate here. All right, there's one here from Joe who's listening to us in the great state of Florida. Kate, I've been listening now to America Tonight for a couple of months, ever since you came on down here in my neck of the woods, and I have to say that it's pretty interesting, some of the things that you touch on, especially when it comes to the government. It sounds as though you're not in favor of a big government. Bravo. I would have to agree with that philosophy. I just don't understand government overreach, and pretty much nowadays, every time we turn around, there's another scandal that's breaking. What do you think needs to be done in Washington? Well, I say this all the time. The reason, even in the beginning of America Tonight, I would say, hey, this is a place for your voice to be heard, regardless of what you want to label yourself. You know, if we really truly are Americans and we stand by the Constitution and how it holds up today, you got to protect some of the liberties that were put in place there so that we don't have that. So that we don't allow the government to become such a monstrosity, which it is, that you start to see more of the corruption that plays into it, because power corrupts. So naturally, when something becomes enormous, you're going to have it. It's like a microcosm of society. That's not a shocker. And there's just not enough oversight. And going back to the previous question about the NSA, I mean, that proves the point. Okay, the NSA is fine, we're cool with it, everything's good, until all of a sudden this guy who's a contractor gets classified information, releases it, and the NSA is embarrassed about all the information that gets released, about how wide the net is, how much information they're gathering. And then here it is, 2.5 months later, the president is saying, well, yeah, because of the Snowden thing, that increased our decision to overhaul the policy. You know, so no Snowden, no overhaul the policy, especially because they know Democrats and Republicans and anyone else is crucifying what's happening with surveillance. In some sense, they are. And there still are others that are defending it. And listen, we have to have some sort of secret surveillance program. There has to be a way to get information. That certainly every day there's not a daily release of here's all the people we're spying on and here's everything that happened. But this is, you know, power unchecked is power gone awry. And that's happened here with our government. And it's happened in a bunch of agencies. And the NSA is one of them. The IRS could be considered another one, because we still can't even figure out or get an answer, a straight answer, as to who decided on these tax exempt statuses. who decided that, oh, let's just make the Tea Party a target. I mean, what a stupid thing in the first place, because don't you just know that that information is going to get out? And how come there's no direct link? I mean, who was it? Who were the direct links? Not just supervisors like Lois Lerner, who said, I plead the fifth. No, there's got to be more. There's got to be something deeper to that. There's got to be some other layer, some other memos, something that. All right, let's take another one. This one is from Chris, who says, with the Middle East, as far as I'm concerned, I think we need to cut off all monies except for the money, and I'm kind of even iffy on this, except for the money that we give in support of Israel. The deal is with the other countries, we don't know who the true leaders are. If they're not it's not a democratic process, why would we support iffy Muslim Brotherhood candidates who ultimately become the presidents in these various countries in the Middle East? And sometimes with big bad Islamic ties in the nature of Islamic terrorism of some sense, I don't think that's where we want to put our money. So I would say we really need to be careful with any foreign countries who we are helping, because we just don't have enough to go around. So we should be picky and very choosy about that. Here's one from Irv, and he kind of echoes the same thing. The Middle East, I would say, forget giving arms to Syria. I would also ditch anything when it comes to Egypt, although if I were Israel, I would put pressure on the United States to help Egypt. But who knows? That's the politician du jour who could end up running the country. So at this point, we'd have to hold off on that. We've already given money to Iraq and Afghanistan, and obviously we're going to continue to do that because we're going to continue to support that area in some way. So we're fully invested. Enough is enough. Anybody else, too bad. We don't have any money left to go around. So sorry for you, Syria. Let's just hope somebody shoots and kills Assad. But then who steps into his shoes? Well, that seems to be the biggest problem, is who steps into the shoes of the people that go down. We're friendly with what leader? Oh, Morsi. We like Morsi. Clinton goes and visits. We take the photo ops, and then Morsi is gone. He's out. Is it a coup? No, we won't declare it a coup because we want to be able to give money to whoever's next in place. But it is a coup. So this is a problem. It's not what we do. We can't do that. And we need to be choosier about who we're supporting, because we only have so much money to go around. Like I said, it's the money tree. You know, it's like, I remember my grandfather used to say this to us as we were kids, when we were kids. What do you think, there's a money tree in the backyard? When he was over, if it's a money tree in the backyard, that expression. And that's what I think. I think other countries say, well, it's America, America, land of the home, free and brave. Everybody's got money, money, money in America, so they must have a giant money tree. Are they not reading their own information that they're pumping out about our huge deficit? Go to China. They'll lend you some money. They lend us money. All right, one last one. This one from Stacey K. And Stacey K. says, wow, you brought back birthdays. I love it. I, for some reason, like the cheesy music, and I like to know how old some of the people are getting that are on the list of people that you go through. Pretty cool. Haven't heard music like that in a long time, since I used to listen to a wacky morning show in St. Louis. So levity is always good. All right, it's always good when you send us your thoughts. You can do that, americatonight.net. Click on contact and let them flow. Bada bing, you may be the next email that we read here on America Tonight.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Whey is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
From the makers of Block It Pocket, we bring you a serious message about the health risks associated with cell phones and wireless devices. Studies have shown that long-term exposure can contribute to an assortment of health risks. Block It Pocket offers you two new products designed to help alleviate your concerns. See these two remarkable products at blockitpocket.com. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. Blockitpocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Thank you, listeners. You spoke and we listened. At Chef5MM.com, we've made our checkout process more secure and user-friendly than ever before. Chef 5-Minute Meals, unlike anything you've ever seen. Self-heat in just 5 minutes. You don't need anything except what comes in the box. Visit Chef5MM.com to see this innovation for yourself. That's Chef5MM.com or call 888-959-6502. 888-959-6502.
Will always be on this trophy, and nobody can take that away from me, so it's a great accomplishment for me, and I'm really excited about it. I come across as a pretty cool customer, I guess, but there are definitely some nerves out there, especially when you're trying to win a major championship. Those last two holes played tough. I think a lot of guys made bogeys coming in today, so I was just trying to keep one foot forward and not screw it up.
All right, Sports Shorts is promised here in the final segment of this Hour of America tonight. Jason Duffner held off the challenge by Jim Furyk at the PGA Championship, so his first major was a big one for him. Woohoo! But no Tiger Woods and no Phil Mickelson. They bottomed out. When somebody's playing early and they're not on major tube time in the afternoon, they are not in the hunt, and that's what happened to both of those superstars. So Duffner, big win for him. To win your first one is big. He was able to chip away at fairways and greens, and it's always tough with the pin placements and, you know, whatnot when you're talking about a major. But here he picked it up, and this is big because he's come close before, and this time he wasn't a bridesmaid. This time he closed the deal. And Jim Furyk made a couple of bad shots, a few bogeys in inopportune times, and that put him right in the hunt. And he said the last two holes were tough because he knew he had to be able to hold on there and hold off any kind of a challenge. So there you go. He finishes 10 under, four shots better than the lowest score in the five previous majors at Oak Hill, so 270 for the entire run. If you remember, if you're a golf fan, the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus, won the 1980 PGA Championship at 274. So how about that? Makes a little history in the end. And Furyk ended up closing with a 71. He finishes three shots behind and Oak Hill can be tough in Rochester. So that's a big one. Congratulations to him. All right, the big story in sports, and one that segs into any kind of conversation you could have on talk radio, is the craziness with the PEDs, the performance-enhancing drugs, and Major League Baseball handing out their suspensions. The big suspension went to Alex Rodriguez, the slugger for the Yankees. He gets 211 games. He's appealed it. The thought is it'll probably be reduced. But how much it'll be reduced is, and now A-Rod, who's in the Yankee lineup, comes through. He's had a few hits in some of the games for the Yankees, but he had his first home run of the season because he hasn't been in the Yankee uniform in a while. So the Yankees win with a walk off. That was big, and this is Alex Rodriguez coming back into New York and being booed. He was kind of booed by the crowd. And this is a big season for Mariano Rivera, the ultimate closer in baseball, because this is a farewell tour. So a win over Detroit plays well for Rodriguez with the home run, certainly. And it was a 5-4 win over the Tigers. And that's a big one because they were 11 games behind in the AL East. The conversation is about PEDs, is about Rodriguez, and is he going to be out for the whole season next year and all that kind of stuff. Victor Conte, whose name comes up with Balco, remember he was the guy behind Balco, said that he consulted with Alex Rodriguez and it was completely above board legal what happened there. There was no sort of any kind of performance-enhancing drugs that would be deemed illegal. Here's what he had to say about Rodriguez following the plan and making it clean all the way across.
He seemed to have pretty good compliance with this for a period of about 3 months. So I think the last contact that I had with him was in July of 2012. So it's been more than a year now since I've been in contact with Alex. They don't believe that the testing is effective, and there is a use or lose mentality. So if the other guy is doing it, then I have to do what I have to do in order to be competitive.
Yeah, and see, what he just said there, I think, is the deal. If it's just like the Tour de France, and it's just like a bike racing in general, and the whole Lance Armstrong controversy, well, if everybody's blood doping, how can I possibly be competitive if I'm not doing it? I have to do the same thing. Matt, what do you think? I think some people will be dissuaded from using performance-enhancing drugs because they don't want to get the suspensions. They don't, especially if they're young and coming up, and they don't want to get blown out before they make any big money. But I still think there's others that will try to cheat the system if they can. What do you think?
I saw an interesting stat, too, one time that it's of the Latin players. It's like, mm-hmm. I think it's the people who have been busted. I can't remember the exact stat, so now it's pretty worthless. But I think it was like upwards of 60% of the players who are busted are Latin players. And a lot of them are saying that they're under such pressure to kind of make it from wherever they are into the big leagues, and it's easier to just, you know, it's more accessible for them to get their hands on these drugs, and they can make a huge amount of money. You look at Melky Cabrera, who was busted, served 50-game suspension last year. He still got a pretty decent-sized contract from the Blue Jays this year. So it's not like it ruins your career.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think it doesn't ruin your career. And it only could ruin your career if you, I think, at least in the court of public opinion, if you continue to deny, then it comes out. I mean, the perfect examples, and I think we've talked about this before, Andy Pettit still got big contracts after he said that he used things. Jason Giambi, same thing. But I think when you try to deny too much and then you get nailed, that looks bad.
Keep denying it are the ones who end up kind of in a bad spot. But if you just admit it, I mean, I can think of, who is it, Bronson Arroyo? Giambi, like you said, Andy Pettit. I mean, there's a lot of people who have been busted that are continuing on with their careers because they just admit their faults, they take their punishment, and they move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a sort of a lesson in that. It's easier. I think we are forgiving. I think people are forgiving. There's a forgiving nature, especially when it comes to sports fans, but not if you try to pull the wool over their eyes. Not if you're dodging and weaving and then you don't say anything until you ultimately get nailed for something. In a weird way, I always say this, that sports is like politics. And it's like with politicians. Why? I don't understand this. When you make a mistake, why don't you just say, I made a mistake, here's what I thought, boom. Or when you do something stupid, it's like the stuff with Anthony Weiner. He only comes forward when somebody has information on him. He's not coming forward and say, hey, I made a mistake, here's what I did. So, of course, there's not the believability is not there. And with sports, I think with Lance Armstrong, that was one of the things with Armstrong. If Armstrong had admitted to it, maybe it would have turned out differently. But then he became the hated guy because he kind of bullied a lot of the people who were coming out against him and saying, well, I know he did this. And they were asked about it. They were asked under oath, all this other stuff. And he would alienate them. And that created I thought that created what was the teardown of Lance Armstrong. He did it to himself when he got in the middle of it. That, of course, there were other people that were doing it. And if for whatever reason he said, listen, I got into racing and I was told that this is what other people are doing and all the teams are doing it and it was wrong, but everybody did it, so I did it or whatever. But that didn't happen, and that, I think, cost him in the end. And maybe the same thing with Alex Rodriguez, because that's why he gets the boos all over the place. There are other guys that are not getting those boos, but he's getting them, and part of that is because of what he said along the way during this whole thing. I still say he'll have some of that suspension knocked off. You know, how much, I don't know, but I think he will have some of it knocked down because it's just that high. All right, fastest man in the world. This guy is like lightning. If you've watched the Olympics, then you certainly know Mr. Bolt, Usain Bolt winning the 100s at the Worlds. This guy is unstoppable. He's so fun to watch, unstoppable. I mean, he's got the legs that just keep on going. And the rain was pouring. It was not the best conditions in Moscow, but it didn't get in his way. On Sunday night in the 100-meter final at the World Championships, he was the guy. He blew by Justin Gatlin with about 30 meters to go and never, ever looked back. Never looked back. This guy is money. He won in 9.77 seconds. I mean, he is like the breeze. I think with track and field, he is pound for pound the best guy to watch. Because you know that he is going to blow away the competition. And I think it's going to be like that in the upcoming Olympics, too, as well, for him. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Now available in softcover and Kindle on Amazon is a revolutionary book that will forever change the way you look at health and diet. Dr. Brian Sturgeon's Body and Brain Diet. This amazing diet and exercise plan was developed when the surgeon himself was confronted with heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. There's no starving yourself and no calorie counting. You'll learn it's not how much you eat, but what you eat. Find easy-to-prepare recipes and simple step-by-step workout plans that exercise mind and body simultaneously. On the plan, Dr. Sturgeon lost over 70 pounds and reversed all the diseases naturally and with no medication. And many of his patients have had similar success. The Body and Brain Diet allows you to naturally diminish or reverse diabetes, hypertension, coronary artery disease, skin tags, psoriasis, and more. A whole new outlook on life and a healthy future awaits you. And Dr. Brian Sturgeon's Body and Brain Diet, available in softcover and Kindle on Amazon.com.